Abhyana Tamarandasya Jananjana Sadakaya Chaksula Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Godave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Tsvapandantikam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text Number 20. Never increasingly fresh and new in all their activities. The All-Knower, the Super Soul, within the heart of the devotee, makes everything increasingly fresh. This is known as the Brahman position by the advocates of the Absolute Truth. In such a liberated stage, Brahmabhuta, one is never bewildered. Nor does one lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This is due to the Brahmabhuta situation. Purport. A devotee is inspired by the Super Soul within the heart to advance in devotional service in a variety of ways. The devotee does not feel hackneyed or stereotyped, nor does he feel that he is in a stagnant position. In the material world, if one engages in chanting a material name, he will feel tired after chanting a few times. However, one can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all day and night and never feel tired. As chanting is increased, it will come out new and fresh. Srila Rupa Goswami said that if he could somehow get millions of ears and tongues, then he would relish spiritual bliss by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There is really nothing uninspiring for a highly advanced devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he is situated in everyone's heart and that he helps the living entity forget and remember. By the grace of the Lord, the devotee gets inspiration. Tesham Satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Bhagavad Gita 10:10. As stated, kushala karnamanam, those engaged in auspicious activities in devotional service are guided by the Super Soul, described in this verse as Jana, one who knows everything, past, present, and future. The Super Soul gives instructions to the sincere, unalloyed devotee on how he can progress more and more in approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Jiva Goswami, in this connection, says that the Super Soul, the plenary expansion of the Personality of Godhead, exists in everyone's heart, but in the heart of the devotee, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Being inspired by him, the devotee experiences increased transcendental bliss in the execution of his devotional service. Tesham satat yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. There is a reciprocation between the Lord and his unalloyed devotee. Devotional service, in order to please the Lord, must be unalloyed. Mixed devotional service means when there is some motive for sense gratification mixed in with the principle of devotional service. This, however, is not so pleasing to the Lord. Although the Lord is very kind and may fulfill some desire of the devotee. For example, we see that Dhruva Maharaj was worshipping the Lord with a mixed motive. He wanted to gain a kingdom greater than that of his father or grandfather. And so he worshipped the Lord with this material motive. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He chanted that mantra. When he got darshan of the Lord, when he saw the Lord before him, however, he realized what a fool he was to have presented the Lord with some material desire. He said that I was searching for broken pieces of glass, when actually I had the greatest jewel of all, your transcendental lotus feet. Nevertheless, the Lord fulfilled that mundane desire of Dhruva. But Dhruva felt very much ashamed that he had to have had this desire. So a pure devotee is one who has no even slight tinge of personal desire to present before the Lord. The residents of Vrindavan, and in particular the gopis, exhibit this selfless service. And we have to learn from them how to actually meditate upon the Lord in this mood of selfless service. When the Lord sees that a devotee is unalloyed, then he cannot give anything except himself. It is stated that the Lord is very willing to bestow any type of benediction upon one. That means that if someone has some fruitive desire, then he may get that fruitive desire fulfilled. Or if a person desires liberation, even that may be fulfilled. But to reward one, the result of pure unalloyed devotion, is something very, very dear. And Krishna, therefore, withholds that offering or that gift or that benediction, because in giving this benediction, he gives what is most valuable. What is that? He presents himself. Because Krishna is the property of his unalloyed devotees. It is something which requires some very great sincere effort to provide or present Krishna with this pure, unalloyed devotional service. Now, Krishna knows everything. He is not far away, or if we say he is very far away, at the same time we say he is closer than everyone. He is very far away means he is situated in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. And he is closer than anything else means he is situated within the heart as Paramatma, Supersoul. As the Paramatma, he knows everything, the past, the present, the future. He is our dearmost friend. As stated by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, referring to a commentary by Srila Jiva Goswami, Paramatma is within the heart of all living entities. However, he acts differently within the hearts of his pure devotees. Because as it is said here, he reveals himself as ever increasingly new. Krishna's another name is Navayovana. He is ever fresh. There is an ongoing competition between Krishna and Krishna's devotee. Krishna is all attractive, but devotional service is even more attractive. Therefore, we see that Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, or one who bewilders Cupid. But the personification of devotional service, namely Srimati Radharani, is known as Madan Mohan Mohini. Because whereas Krishna can attract Cupid, Srimati Radharani can capture Krishna. And therefore it is proven that even more powerful than Krishna is devotional service to Krishna. So there is a competition. Krishna's all-attractive nature and the devotee's devotion, which goes on attracting Krishna even more. But we see that in this competition, who is the winner? The devotee. Although Krishna is unconquerable, although Krishna is unequaled, Although Krishna is independent, he loses all of these reputations, all of these, you know, you can say, characteristics in the presence of his devotee. He is not independent from his devotee. He is not unconquerable by his devotee. He is not unequaled. He's surpassed by his devotee. So this, why is this? Because this gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. Certainly it happens by the will of Krishna. Nothing can happen without the will of Krishna. But Krishna's devotee and Krishna are in such a loving compact that Krishna enjoys more when his devotee surpasses him. He likes that more. He likes when he has to become submissive, just like we see that Mother Yasoda scolds Krishna. And Krishna enjoys this very much. Arjuna takes the superior position and becomes the fighter, and Krishna becomes his driver. And in so many loving dealings with the gopis, Krishna becomes submissive. Just like if Radharani becomes very angry at Krishna for something, Krishna will in so many ways try to touch her feet and beg her forgiveness, and still she may not want to talk to him. Or Krishna may become, in another pastime, her doorkeeper and simply stand outside. So in all of these loving affairs, Krishna enjoys the position of subordination before his pure devotees. But they must be pure devotees. Otherwise, there's no question of such loving exchanges. So this is the special feature of the devotees who go to Goloka Vrindavan. The devotees in Vaikuntha, they cannot see Krishna in this type of mood. Just like we said, Lakshmi Devi, she would like to see Krishna, but she can't, because she keeps seeing Narayan with great reverence. Therefore, it is very hard for her to see Krishna in the way the residents of Vrindavan do. When one time Krishna was standing, he wanted to conceal himself. So he transformed himself into a formed armed Narayan feature. So the gopis were searching after Krishna. Now what happened? When they came looking, they were asking the creepers, have you seen Krishna? They were asking the tulsi trees, have you seen Krishna? They were asking all the different living entities, have you seen Krishna? And then suddenly they saw Narayan. And when they saw Narayan, they were not very interested. They were not very interested in this super opulent form of God. But Narayan, although he was trying to conceal himself as Narayan, when Srimati Radharani came near, he could not maintain that, you know, identity. And immediately he had to transform himself back into this form. Why? Because he's so attracted by the love of Radharani. He's so attracted by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And therefore it is said that Krishna can never leave Vrindavan. He cannot go out. When he seems to go out to kill Kamsa, we understand from the Acharyas that he goes out in one of his expansion forms as Vasudev Krishna. That same form, you know, when Krishna was born to Devaki and Vasudev, his birth was as a four-armed form, right? This is Vasudev Krishna, the four-armed feature of God. And later on, he transformed himself into the small child Krishna. But actually, the Krishna who we worship as Govinda or Shyamasundar, that Krishna lives eternally in Vrindavan with his devotees who are of a very special nature. The special characteristic of the Vrindavan devotees is that their love has increased to such a degree that they think of God as their intimate friend and family member. They think of themselves as being in positions of equality with Krishna, in the sense that, like the cowherd boys, they challenge Krishna. Oh, you want to wrestle with me? You're no match for me. I'm going to defeat you. And when I do defeat you, you will have to put me on your shoulders and ride me about. Now, you can't imagine someone in Vaikuntha saying this to Narayan. And Yasoda Devi, she says, you are very naughty. I've spent so many hours making this butter, and now you have broken all the pots and you're feeding your monkey friends. So I'm going to have to bind you up. You cannot imagine someone saying to Lord Narayan, I'm going to bind you up. It's not possible. There's a very nice narration by Srila Sanatana Goswami in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And it describes a devotee named Gopakumar. And he is gradually looking for the eternal abode of Goloka Vrindavan. So on the way, he goes, and he is actually a cowherd boy from Govardhan. And he has eternal relationship and friendship with Krishna of Vrindavan. So when he goes up to Vaikuntha, you know, and he sees Lord Narayan, he starts saying, Hey Gopal! And all of the, you know, Vaikuntha Vasis, they call him aside. They say, You should not say this. What are you doing? Don't you understand? This is Vaikunthanath. You know, he's full of opulence. You can't just call him, Hey Gopal! They say, that was when he, you know, that feature of Gopal is when he was just playing in one of his leelas. But this is God. You should remind yourself, be respectful. So Gopakumar was not very satisfied in this situation. So this is the nature of the Brijbasis, you see. The eternal residents of Goloka Vrindavan, they want to relate in a very, very confidential and friendly manner without all this awe and reverence. But we should not think for a moment that Goloka Vrindavan is less opulent than Vaikuntha. Not at all. It is most opulent. But the opulence is covered by the sweet dealings between Krishna and his devotees. So when it says here that Krishna is ever fresh, there are many meanings to this ever freshness. One thing is that because his beauty is unlimited, a devotee perceives the beautiful form of the Lord in newer and newer ways, and never becomes tired of seeing this form. Similarly, another point is that his holy name. His holy name is such that a devotee derives greater and greater satisfaction in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Similarly, in terms of his pastimes are unlimited. What we read in Srimad Bhagavatam are only some of his pastimes. You cannot count the number of pastimes that Krishna performs. So all of these are manifested by the grace of Krishna within the heart of his pure devotee. This Brahma-Bhuta stage, which is mentioned here, is not the Brahman or impersonal realization which some people are interested in. Those who are gyanis or impersonalists, they think that ultimately God has no form. And they think that as soon as there is form, there is a limitation on God. They think that form or name or qualities means material things. Therefore, since God is nirguna, without qualities, it means he is featureless or varietyless. However, that term nirguna means he has no material qualities. We understand that he has a form, he has a name, and he has activities. And these activities, forms and names, are all completely transcendental. So, a devotee who is very sincere, praying to Krishna, always, Krishna illuminates his heart. What does it mean? It means that Krishna performs his pastimes within a devotee's heart. This goes on. A devotee is described that in the beginning, we simply learn to control our mind while we're chanting. Our chanting is simply to try to not make our mind wander. Therefore, you'll see in Bhagavad Gita the advice that wherever your mind wanders, pull it back. And also, wherever your senses go out, pull them within. This is a beginning stage, teaching us the basics of sadhana bhakti. Now, gradually, by the grace of Guru and Bhakti Devi, we will learn to be able to control our mind and senses. Then what do we have to do? Then the chanting of the mantra has to be done, hearing very carefully the glories of the holy name. The glories of the holy name means the pastimes of the Lord. And this is called mantra upasana. That means that a devotee, naturally by chanting, will remember some pastime of the Lord and feel great satisfaction remembering that pastime and chanting. This is called mantra upasana. And when that meditation stage of chanting becomes perfect, then all the pastimes, one after another, become revealed within the heart of the devotee as he chants the holy name of Krishna. So, therefore it is said that the Lord is ever increasingly fresh, revealing himself in ever increasing new ways within the heart of his devotee. Now, this can be translated into our practical daily service. We see that when we go out on Sankirtan, that the Lord reveals to us all kinds of new ways and means to convince the conditioned souls to take to Krishna consciousness. No question of there being boredom or some static situation. Every day when we go out, there are new pastimes, new Sankirtan pastimes. Each conditioned soul presents so many interesting arguments or characteristics. And Krishna, because of the sincerity of the Sankirtan devotee praying to the Lord, Krishna reveals to the Sankirtan devotee how to speak in such a way to disengage the material modes of nature in that conditioned soul. In other words, a conditioned soul is entrapped by the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. But a devotee is on the transcendental platform, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. And therefore, a devotee relates to the conditioned soul not on the basis of his mundane conditioning, but ultimately on the basis that he is a spirit soul. And because he relates on this platform, that person is brought onto a higher position by the association of a devotee. This is what actually takes place. By the association of a devotee, by the association of the Sankirtan preacher, the conditioned soul is brought to the spiritual platform, even if momentarily. And in that position, a devotee offers him Krishna's mercy in the form of transcendental books. And the person becomes very willing and says, yes, I will take. And according to how pure the devotee can inspire that conditioned soul and bring him free from the modes of material nature, he will take 5 books, 6 books, 10 books, right? Or how many books? 20 books? Unlimited books. Unlimited books. Because he's not any longer on the material platform. How can a materialist take unlimited books? How can someone who is in the mode of passion or ignorance take so many books? It is not possible. Therefore, in the association of the Sankirtan devotee, a person becomes temporarily freed from the modes of material nature. So, therefore, it is required that the Sankirtan devotee be a true transcendentalist. It is not in any way a material phenomena of going out and preaching. There's no question of playing some trick on the conditioned souls. We are not playing, we are playing a transcendental trick, if there is any trick. But the real fact is, it is purity, as Prabhupada said, it is purity which is the force. It is the purity of a devotee which will inspire the mode of transcendental goodness within the heart of another. This is called Vishuddha Sattva. Vishuddha Sattva is the pure goodness. And Vishuddha Sattva is the principle which exists in the spiritual world. When a devotee goes on Sankirtan, he is not in the material world. When a devotee performs devotional service, he is not in the material world. Because devotional service cannot be performed on the material platform. Therefore, Prabhupada said, our temples are not material part of the material cities. They are embassies of the spiritual world. Similarly, a Sankirtan preacher is an ambassador from one of these embassies, and he's going out and, you know, giving out visas to everyone, right? Stamping their cards, giving them the visa. Oh, you are interested in going back to Godhead? Here, let me stamp you with this visa, you see? And then we even issue them the passport also. Passport, and we stamp them with visa. And according to their qualification or merit, they can take more and more and more books. So, we have to know what is the nature of the country that we represent. We have to know everything about the spiritual world. We have to know everything about spiritual science. Therefore, it is very, very important that we make a very careful study of Prabhupada's books so that we can actually go out and interest people. That, yes, we should try to sell them. That you must be interested now. Don't stay any longer in this material world, but you must come back to the spiritual world. This is your real home. And we have to tell them something, or somehow induce them by our association that they please take these books. So, again, not only internally from within the heart is a devotee and always enlivened with ever new realizations, but practically in their day-to-day devotional activities, they're similarly enlivened. Then another qualification is given here of a devotee, that one is never bewildered. What does this mean? It means that Krishna shines the light by which a devotee can walk. A devotee does not have to depend upon mental speculation. The materialists do this because they're on the mental platform. They're not in touch with the Supersoul. But a devotee is in touch with the Supersoul. How? By the order of Guru. The order of the Guru and the direction of the Supersoul are non-different. When the Guru comes to us, we should understand that the Paramatma is appearing before us in the form of the spiritual master. And the words of the spiritual master are exactly non-different than the words of Paramatma speaking to us. And therefore, when it says that a devotee is not bewildered, it means that because he takes the order of the spiritual master as his life and soul, naturally he is not bewildered. He knows exactly what to do. And if he cannot understand how to fulfill that order, he prays to the spiritual master. And by the grace of the Supersoul within the heart and the grace of the spiritual master, it is revealed to him exactly how to proceed forward. So this is the point, no bewilderment. Another point is that the devotee guides his activities by Shastra. This is another way that we are not bewildered. Because we know Scripture, we see Shastra Chaksu. We see with the eyes of Scripture, not with material vision. So, if we know Scripture very nicely, understand what is what and not be bewildered. Ultimately, by developing loving relationship with Krishna, Krishna will reveal everything personally. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, that when he was writing his books, what was Krishna doing? Dictating. Krishna was sitting there dictating. And Prabhupada, one devotee who was serving Prabhupada as a secretary, tried to explain to a reporter how when Prabhupada said that, what he means is that, you know, Krishna is inspiring Prabhupada. And Prabhupada cut that devotee off and said, no, that's not what I mean. I said Krishna dictates. Krishna is sitting by my side telling me what to write. So this is the result when one becomes a pure devotee. Then he can actually come face to face with Krishna and be directed by the Lord in each and every activity. As far as the next point goes, a devotee does not lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. This means material lamentation or material jubilation. Naturally, we are always jubilant, and naturally we also lament. What is our lamentation? That we could not be better, more sincere servants of our spiritual master. And what is our jubilation? That our spiritual master is so kind to us, that he has given us the ability to offer devotional service, even if it is very imperfect and meager. We feel some jubilation. Prabhupada said, the devotees are not hippies, they are happies. And he also said, they are all like jubilant peacocks when they dance. So there is jubilation. But materially, we do not become, you know, just like if we get some, you can see how the karmis are. They become very, very happy or very, very depressed according to material circumstances. But a devotee who is fixed in transcendental knowledge is unaffected. Maktasparasas to kunteya sitoshna sukadukada agamapahino nityas tamstatikshasa bharata. We learn to be equipoised by learning tolerance. Tolerance is a very important quality, especially on Sankirtan. You have to be very tolerant because there may be so many reverses. There may be some people who will say some abuse, or there may be some people who will deny to take a book. But still, we are very tolerant. We don't mind. Because we know we are simply doing our duty, offering everyone the chance. We feel sorry if they don't take the opportunity. But it is up to Krishna ultimately. When performing devotional service, you must do your best, and the result is on Krishna. So, a devotee is neither lamenting nor materially jubilant. And this is due to the Brahma-Bhuta situation. Brahma-Bhuta-prasanatma. Nasochati-nakangshati. This same verse is more or less said here. Nasochati. The same point. Nasochati-narishyanti instead of nakangshati. They're not lamenting and they're not jubilant. Why? Because they are fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So we will stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. When do we hear the Sankirtan results? At the end of the marathon? On the weekend. I have to stay for the weekend to hear them. Any questions? What is the next program then? So we can use this time for japa? Devotees have rounds to chant still? So that will be a good opportunity to chant now? Huh? You want me to speak more? So Krishna's pastimes are very, very wonderful. And when we see his dealings with the residents of Vrindavan, we see that there are many varieties of relationships that one may have with Krishna. Just like, for example, Jyotila. She has a very interesting relationship with Krishna. Jyotila is the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani. She is the mother of Radharani's so-called husband, Abhimanyu. So, Jyotila has... her idea is that sometimes she hears rumors that Radharani is trying to meet Krishna. So, she becomes very agitated about this. And therefore, she's always on guard. Just like one time she received news that Radha and Krishna were together. So, she immediately rushed out. But on the way, she met Lalita. And Lalita told her, that you are always thinking these things about your daughter-in-law, but actually you are incorrect, that what you have heard is not true, and that actually it is not at all Krishna, but it is simply a game that they are playing, and someone is in disguise acting like Krishna. So when Jyotila went there, sure enough, she saw like this. Another time, she saw that Radharani and Krishna were together, and she thought that she would come in and capture them together. But Krishna immediately told Radharani that you go on just as you are, sit here. And he transformed himself. He stuck out his tongue. And he made himself to look just like the goddess Kali. And Radharani was sitting there worshipping the goddess Kali. So when Jyotila came in, she thought, oh, my daughter is certainly very pious like this. So, then later on, Krishna again transformed himself back. This happened at a place called Javat, which is the place of Jyotila, where she resides. It is near Nandagram and Barshana, some distance away. And all the gopis also, they also stay there with, because they're all friends, and they stay there with Srimati Radharani. So, these type of loving affairs, where sometimes there is some opposition from Jyotila or others, this is all for the increased pleasure and joy of Radha and Krishna. And in fact, we see that all of the affairs of Goloka Vrindavan are meant for the satisfaction of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. All the different activities. Nandagram is Krishna's home. And in this Nandagram, Yasoda and Nanda are taking care of Krishna and Balaram. And every day they go out to tend the cows in the pasture. And at that time, all of the mother, Yasoda, she accompanies Krishna for some distance. She makes sure that he has nice foodstuffs. Prabhupada said that she gives him some lugdu to put in the pocket. One time Prabhupada made one of these lugloos for me. So I didn't know he had made it, and he asked me to try this. So I tasted it, and he said, "How do you like it?" I said, "This is not of this world." Prabhupada said, "Actually, you're right. This is a recipe of Mother Yasoda." He said, "And it's this type of lugloo that Krishna puts in his pocket and takes with him to the cowherding pastimes." So, Krishna goes out, and he herds the cows, and at the same time, sometime in the afternoon, he will also join with the gopis for some rendezvous, and then again he will come back to his cowherd friends, and again they will return, and Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini will bathe Krishna and Balaram, and then prepare them nice food to eat, and Krishna will eat with some of his friends, just like Radharani's brother Sridham. They will all be sitting there at the table. Sometimes Radharani will prepare very nice foodstuffs for Krishna, and she will stand behind a curtain looking to see how Krishna likes the thing which she has made. And when Krishna tastes it, he immediately makes a very bad face. He knows that she has prepared this food, but he wants to have some fun with her, so he makes a very sour face. And immediately he passes the sweet to Sridham, who is the brother of Radharani. So when Sridham tastes it, then he smiles very much, because he was so delicious. You know, it was a very favorite preparation. And he smiles, and then Radharani actually understands that there was nothing wrong with the cooking, but Krishna was only playing a pastime with her, and that he wanted to make her see her brother was eating, because Sridham is so dear to her. So in this way we see the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna and all the residents of Vrindavan. And we are very, very fortunate, because by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're coming in this line. We can hope that in some birth, if not in this lifetime, then in the future, that we shall be able to go to that place and see these wonderful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada said that if we can sacrifice this one life in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Sankirtan mission, then we can gain a qualification which cannot be gained ordinarily simply by sadhana bhakti. After all, because of the Kali Yuga, we are very unqualified. But there is one qualification we can gain, and that is that we can get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the disciplic succession upon us. And their mercy upon us can make us very fortunate. Their mercy upon us can actually bring us the opportunity for this position of going back to home, back to God. Otherwise, to do sadhana is very difficult, only to do sadhana for going back to Godhead. That is very difficult. But there is some special qualification which is coming. And therefore we should understand that Prabhupada pushed us very strongly in Sankirtan. Because it is mentioned by Krishna at the end of the Gita, the end of a book is considered the most important part of any book. The end instruction is considered the final instruction. So it is very significant that after Krishna says, Sarva Dhammam Parityaja Mam Ekam Saranam Braja, after he says, surrender unto me, then he says how to do that. And he says that anyone who will teach this knowledge or give this knowledge to others becomes most dear to me and is awarded pure devotional service and at the end comes back to me. So even 5,000 years ago, Krishna is saying that this Sankirtan Yajna, this process of preaching, not just doing kirtan to oneself or bhajan to oneself, but going out in preaching will be the greatest qualification. Krishna says that that person will become very dear to me. So there is a very good reason why Prabhupada stressed so much preaching activities. He stressed it like anything because he knew that this would gain us the favor of Krishna. This would gain us the attention of the whole disciplic succession. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was most pleased of all when he saw that his disciples could sell even one or two or three Gaudiya Patrikas, the magazine which he was selling. So even one, two, or three got that devotee great mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we see, therefore, Prabhupada had that same mood. As soon as he heard the book distribution scores, he became very, very satisfied. And it is said that a devotee renders menial service to the spiritual master. And by the pleasure, when the spiritual master is pleased with the attitude of menial service, he bestows devotional service and transcendental understanding upon the disciple. So we should understand that if we can give pleasure to our spiritual master and the members of the disciplic succession, then they will make us Krishna conscious. Not that we can become Krishna conscious on our own. They will make us Krishna conscious. We simply have to please them. So Prabhupada said, if you want to please me, distribute books. If you want to know me, read my books. So we are doing these two things. Our life is based on these two principles, studying Prabhupada's books and going out and distributing them. Now you've got another 15 minutes. So we will stop here, unless someone has any comment or question. What about your Guru Puja? You don't have Guru Puja? Now at this time, right, isn't it? 7? Okay. So we'll stop here then. Sankirtan Yagna Ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Guru Vrinda Ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo.